From Isaiah. Oh, okay. And now is that better? Isaiah, we have darkness as black as night covered all the nations of the earth, but glory of the Lord will shine upon it. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your riches.
We light this candle
as a symbol of Christ our hope. May the night sent from God shine in the darkness to show us the way of salvation.
Everybody filled with the Holy Spirit and turkey?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So are we. It was a good weekend. Good time to be together as family. Good time to come and to celebrate God's presence amongst us in both church and in our church family and in our families of origin as we gather around the table together. I just want to thank you for being here this morning and welcome you to this time together. What a gracious thing to come into a beautiful sanctuary, see everything decorated for Advent. I started to wish you a happy new year, but I was afraid most of y'all would think I'd lost what little sense I had left. But technically for the church, this is the first day of the new year. You were given, I hope, as you came in this morning. You didn't know I was going to make a speech now, did you? But here I am. You were given, I hope, when you came in this morning, a book that looked something like this. If you were not given this, we have many of them, and we will make sure we hand those out. Marilyn's looking around to see. Get them as you leave. We have plenty of them. They are from the Society of St. Andrews. Some of y'all may know the Society of St. Andrews. Most of you probably don't. They are a group of people who are non-denominational. There's many Methodists in them, but they're non-denominational. And they glean food from fields after the harvest has been done. And then they do the gleaning and take them to churches and other different places and do what we call a crop drop. Last time I did it, we gleaned turnips. And we gleaned two semi-loads full of turnips out of four different fields over a few-day period. Last time I did it, my group was had me, a Catholic priest, and four nuns was the group we had, and they gleaned the fields in their habits. And I just felt for them because it was like 103 degrees out there, and they were there, but they just kept on working and going about their business, and so it was an amazing thing to watch. Anyway, I get these from these dear folks. They cost us nothing. They advertise in the front of their books and tell you who they are. And I was a member of this group forever. I'm not at the moment, but there's a story behind that. If you look at this book, it gives you readings for each day between now and or through Christmas Day, ending of Advent. I highly recommend this to you so that we as a church can be reading the same readings and scriptures for the next 4 weeks and can be on the same page in our readings and our study together. If you don't do a regular Bible study every day or a regular reading, this is a perfect way to start that. If you do, it's not that long, and I would suggest that you add it to your reading. It's not hard at all. It's something that I would truly love for us to do together as a family of God. So if you can, please do that. If you can't, of course you can't. But if you can, I would really appreciate that. Our Psalter today is on page 845. It's Psalm 122. Would ask that you would stand, if you're able, to read with us. And let us join in the Psalter together. Again, I've been working with the Dear Choir and Terry specifically on responses. And I didn't know, I think this may have been new when we started doing this. I don't know if you've done this before or not. Leave it to the pastor to present something new. So she's going to lead us to begin with our responsive singing. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord."
Our feet were standing within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Jerusalem is built as a city and is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to give thanks to the name of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel.
Thrones for judgment were set there, the thrones of the house of David.
Hail to the Lord, anointed, great David's greater son.
Pray for peace of Jerusalem.
May they prosper who love you.
Peace be within your walls and security within your towers.
For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Hail to the Lord, anointed, great David's greater son.
Now please join with us as we sing hymn 196. Come, thou long expected Jesus.
Mary, raise us to thy glorious throne.
would ask that you would join me in a time of pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. First, there will be a time of silent prayer. But ask if there's any requests, prayer requests, or joys you would like to share this morning. I think the Kawakamis are out because of the flu. Is that right? Is that right? They're out of town. Somebody else is out because of the flu. I get it. The Tremblers are out because of the flu. Do what? Say it again.
We spent the whole Thanksgiving with the flu.
With the flu? We had the vaccine that saves you from all other flu bugs but the ones you got. Yeah, that's... And Mary Lynn, of course, was also sick during the process of the holidays. And so she missed 3 days of work sick. And I don't think she's missed 3 days of work sick since she delivered a baby. And so it's been a while since she's done that. So just know that she was out too.
Miss Wanda's not well.
Okay. She said she thought she was sick the other day when we talked back and forth. She was afraid of that.
Congestion,
okay. Miss Wanda.
Joy, as usual, I guess Jonathan has helped out himself.
Yes.
I can tell you as a fact that called me last night for some business. And I was in laying on a pillow with covers on the he was just finishing up. So put a lot of time and for
the I know. Oh, he steamed them.
Yes.
Wow. I know that when I came on Thanksgiving night, I was here Thanksgiving for a little bit, Thanksgiving night, and so when I came down Thanksgiving night, he hadn't started again. So I know between then and here, he's done this. But don't y'all tell him I said anything. He fussed at me when I said something about the other day. So don't let him know I said anything. Don't tell him I thought it was good, okay? We have a request from the clergy of the hosting conference. One of our dear clergy members, and I won't mention his name because we're videoing, so I'm going to leave his name alone. If y'all want to know who it is, I'll tell you later. Little son passed away this week. He had had an accident and had injured his head, and they had to do surgery, and the surgery was not successful, and he passed. And there was this beautiful article written by him and sent on it to us who are friends on Facebook, thanking God for the time that he had with his child, and then thanking God for the fact that the child was an organ donor and his life saved so many other lives. So just know that happened this week. So just be in prayer for that family. Again, if you want to know who that is, I'll tell you in person later. But that be in prayer for them. Anybody else? Let's have a time of silent prayer, then I'll lead us in the pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. The advent of Jesus. The times that God has intervened in our lives that we know of and we don't is amazing. The way that God has intervened and interacted with us with the advent of the Holy Spirit coming upon us, with the advent of the babe being born in the manger, the advent of the resurrection of Christ, with all the times that the interaction has occurred between us and God that we are so not aware of and yet so thankful for. With all the things that are laid out in front of us, with the work of God and the power of God being in front of us, and yet sometimes we are like the people of Jesus' time and want to see a miracle to prove that God is God. And yet that miracle is very life itself, salvation itself, joy itself. It's all upon us and with us, and we are so thankful that that joy and thanksgiving is in front of us and yet living with us. We hear the prayers, O Lord, of those who are very sick this day, the ones who are ones who have flu and other diseases, those who we have asked prayer for in our other two churches with cancer, and the prayers of our souls here for that, for those folks and for the people in our community who face that disease. The prayers of how God interacts with us in our other sicknesses, to lift up holy names, to be with Miss Wanda and to bless her and let her heal. Be with those who travel and have flu. Just be with us in our interacting with each other, that we trust that you are intervening at this very moment. Alive in us and awaken us to see the work of God in our lives and to hear the voice that speaks to us quietly and sometimes very loudly. Let us hear you, O Lord, and be changed by you. And grant us a peacefulness in our soul and a joy in our salvation. Now open up to us all that is and is to come, and bless us in all that will ever be. And in your joy, and in our pain, in your gift of love, and in our gifts of doubt, may all come together in a joyfulness of this Advent season. Yes, O come, Emmanuel. And come upon us this very moment. Pray in this prayer, and then pray in the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing hymn number 714, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why on earth he Christ in love redeemed me, Lord, in his own.
created that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day.
Please be seated. And as the ushers come forward, I want to say to you this morning that we have had someone graciously and anonymously, so don't ask me who, because I won't tell you, and anonymously give us a $10,000 gift towards the church. In doing that, they're challenging us to raise $10,000 beyond our normal giving between now and the next advent of Christ, which is called Easter. To see if we can do that, we have to figure out how we'll measure that and all those good things. Or if somebody just wants to write another $10,000 check and take care of it before you leave the building, we'll take it. Amen. So just however you want to do that. But they have been gracious enough to do that. So I wanted you to know that that was there and that has been given to us. And I look at my treasurers and all those folks, and they will tell me that they are very appreciative of a $10,000 gift. Amen. And so so thank those who gave and are willing to do that for our church. No, that means you have to give an extra $10,000 beyond your normal giving between now and Easter. Yeah. And so just to say that. All right, let us pray together. Heavenly Father, the giving of this day, let us give in a way that honors and glorifies you. Let us challenge ourselves to give more to you with our very being and our gifts of finances and time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
So let's talk about something a minute before we actually start reading scripture. We use the word Advent. And if I say Advent, what do y'all usually think of? Do what? Say it loud.
Preparation.
For coming. We usually think of Advent season as the coming of the Christ child. And that's our central theme for the next 4 weeks, although we don't begin there today. We begin in another place and time. And in the midst of this, when we start thinking about Advent and preparation, we get into this conversation of how is it God is preparing us for God's intervention, interaction, redemption in our lives. How is it God prepares the way? We ended last week in a conversation about wanting to send people back from the dead so that we would know that we needed not go to that place as the rich man was trying to talk to them and Lazarus. And we ended last week with that conversation. And Abraham responds by saying, even if they come back from the dead, they won't hear. They have Moses and the prophets. There's a preparation through Moses and the prophets been done for them to understand who they're supposed to be and how they're supposed to interact. And so, when we begin to think of interaction or intervention or change for us, we always think of an active God, and we kind of think of a passive people. That's not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be an active God and an active people interacting with each other in the advent of God. Now, you'll see that in a very clear way later as we look at the conversation between Mary and the angel, Joseph and the angel. And in some ways, even though I've only got 4 weeks, this is a 4 week time frame that needs 16. But if I started Advent for the birth of Christ in August, y'all would think I'd lost it. It really takes about that long. For those in the Wednesday night Bible study with me, you'll understand that we have been past the birth in our almost 4 months of Bible study. About 2 weeks ago, we're studying Luke. It took a while to get through that because the preparation at birth for them, it's a lot of conversation. It's going and being with Elizabeth, and it is something that is more internal. It's the acceptance of the advent of the Holy Spirit upon our own souls. Upon the souls of the people of Mary and Joseph and their families around them. I mean, the story makes no sense. That's what's cool about it. I know cool is not a definitive theological term that pastors are supposed to use, but that's what makes it cool. I mean, you know, it's just so cool. If you don't think so, wait till the angel visits you again. And most of the time you say, what do you mean again? Really? You don't think you haven't been visited by angels already? You have, whether you know it or not. Now, you may not have known it. But we've all had visitation. We've all had God intervene in situations. We've all had interaction. Now, whether it turned out the way we wanted it to or not, well, that's another whole conversation. But there's been interaction. So I think through that, and then we come here. This is Matthew 24, beginning with verse 36. If you can and are able, stand with me for this reading in this text, on this first Sunday of Advent. Matthew 24, But about that day and hour, no one knows. Neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will it be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would have not left his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the grace of God interacting with us, for the advent of the Holy Spirit coming upon us, and for the coming of the Christ child. May we be changed in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What I want to do, and y'all be the judge whether I do it or not, because you're the one listening to me. What I want to do is try to set up the Advent season on this Sunday morning, as we have three more weeks of it to come, to try to set it up where we can experience the Advent, the coming of Christ, but not just in the thought process of the Christ child being born, but in the process of what's being read in the scriptures of what we call, some people call, second coming of Christ. Now, I always get people confused and messed up when we get into this, and I don't mean to, but I can't help myself. Because this is why I do that. If you think about it and you read John 1:1 and following, if you read that text, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's in the beginning, right? And then we see God walking in the cool of the evening with Adam and Eve. Even when they found out they were naked, because the snake had a moment, we went through that process and they see that, and he still comes to find them, and they're hiding from God. We watch God intervene in the burning bush. And I'm missing a lot of things in this. All right, make sure you hear this. We watch God intervene in the burning bush when Moses goes and hangs out with him around a bush that's burning but not being consumed. And he says to him, take off your shoes because you are on holy ground. I've said to you before, my son-in-law, Lindsay, our one who plays the piano and all that good stuff that came, my son-in-law takes that very seriously. Anytime he comes into a sanctuary, he takes his shoes off. I just think he wants to be comfortable. But he usually lives this thing for that. So he thinks, well, be it, we're in holy ground. And you have set this space up to be holy ground. Now, whether you think of the sanctuary here as holy ground or not, that's what it was built for, and that's what it's for. So you have the intervention there. You have that little moment at the Red Sea. Staff, Moses, army behind. Good luck. What's their intent? To kill everybody that's there. I've always, you know, Charlton Heston does such a good job in that old movie. If you haven't seen that, go watch it. He's so firm in what he does. I've always wondered how Moses really did it. You think Moses just went and just stuck it in there like a spear going away and say, all right, God, do your thing. Or do you think he went up there and went, Lord, if you don't do this, I'm in a world of hurt. Please, oh please, when I put this in the water, part the Red Sea. Was it somewhere probably in between that? Probably. But if the advent of God hadn't come upon that moment, how would that have turned out for the nation of Israel? It wouldn't have been pretty, would it? Think about as you walk through the Old Testament scriptures that all the times God, through his prophets, came and said, if you'll just repent, I will be your God. If you'll be my people. I'm not asking for a lot. Just be my people. Worship me, the God of all creation. How'd that go for him? But he was ready to come in the advent of who God is and change their lives. And yet, every time they changed, see if this sounds familiar, they went and said, I will do it, Lord, if you'll just protect this. And God, knowing they weren't going to do it anyway, went on and protected them. And then a few years later, here we go again. Same story, same thing. How much have we changed? We fit right in, don't we? By the way, in case y'all don't know it, the prophets of the current day are supposed to be the pastors. Man, we're not doing too good at that either. We're being prophetic, but I don't know how strong we are at it as a group. We follow through with this, and we have that moment with Mary and Joseph, which we'll cover so much more later. We'll just say we had that advent of Gabriel coming and saying, this is what's going to happen. And then we have the birth, which we will certainly talk about on Christmas Eve. And we'll watch as that birth unfolds and the advent around everybody happens there. But that's not the end. You heard me mention it in the offering. We've got the advent of the Epiphany. We've got the advent of the walking on the water. We've got the advent of the healing of the sick, of touching the garment so the woman could be healed through the issue of blood. See, what I'm trying to get you to do is think about how God comes into history and changes things. How God, there's this advent, this coming that God continues to try to prepare us for. And then the advent of the death. We so boldly say in our communion rituals, by the baptism of God's suffering and death, we come to this faith in God. The advent of that baptism and then the baptism of the crucifixion. How has God intervened in that? How has God changed us? And we read this scripture this morning, and God's trying to get us through Jesus to hear what's being said. People in the field working together. There's people who are doing the grain who are working together. They're all there, and one of them gets taken and one of them's left behind. Go back and read that if you want to and spend some time with that. We inject into that we assume one of those persons was good and the other was bad, or one was of faith and one was not. Problem is 144,000 or thereabouts, depending on how you read that in Revelation, gets left behind. Maybe the ones who were not taken are the ones who are left to continue the work of the church and of God during that time when all seems to be going wrong. I've told Mary Lynn on one occasion, it's my expectation that if Jesus comes back in my lifetime, I'll get left. And I'll show up on Sunday morning, and there'll be about 10 of y'all left with me. And we're going to be sitting here going, what happened? You think it's happened already? I'm not going there. You're worse than I am. Think of the process of this. I mean, faithfulness doesn't always mean goodness. I know some non-faithful people who may be some of the best people I've ever met. And I know some church folks that, you really want to be around them? Think of the process of how this unfolds and how it works. Judging is not our job. Salvation is our job. Bringing people to God. It's Advent. If you knew when the thief was going to come, this is my dad's quoting of this scripture. My dad's come and gone by now, but this is his quoting. If I knew when the thief would come, I'd got my double barrel shotgun out and be waiting at the door. He wouldn't have got in. If I knew when the thief was coming, I'd been prepared. The reference, of course, is we don't know the day or the time that Jesus is coming. We don't have a clue. Except I would suggest to you, y'all got to be ready now. I would suggest to you he's already come. From the beginning of time, as we know it, to this very moment, Jesus has come. Now, I know it's not that thing we think about when Jesus comes with that final time and final victory. But I want you to think through it. Hey, Jesus is here, don't you? It's called the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's not here, and if we're not a church filled with God's Spirit, we're just a social club. Spirit has to be present. Spirit has to intervene. The advent of God has to happen every time we gather together. That's why we celebrate on Sunday, not Saturday. Each Sunday is supposed to be 52 mini Easters. We celebrate the resurrection of God through Jesus Christ. See, Advent tells us to always, if I could get that in big capital letters somewhere and make it a theme of a church, always be prepared. Because we don't know when Christ is coming. Except we can believe that Christ is always coming. In our souls, in our lives, in our beings, and that God is always interjecting God's self into us. Mary Lynn and I, several years ago, decided we were going to the Orange Bowl. We had a guy that had free tickets. I like free. Had a free condo for us to stay in. I like free. Had free food for us to eat. I like free. And all we had to pay for was gas there and back, and gas at that time was $1.18 a gallon. Yes. We drove down and back for less than $100. Went to the game. Didn't really enjoy the game too much because my team decided to miss an extra point in double overtime to lose the game. Tell you how long ago this was. Tom Brady was the quarterback of Michigan. That gives you an idea how long ago this was. Cindy was little, the one that came with the very quiet and unassuming children that we had with us last week. We went down. Got so hyped up at the game, I knew I wasn't going to sleep, so we decided to come home. So I'm driving, drove my 5 hours or so, Mary Lynn's sleeping. She wakes up, says, I'm good now, you go sleep and I'll drive. Somewhere along the way, while she was sleeping and driving, God pulled us off the exit ramp into a crystal. We're sitting in the crystal when she wakes up with her foot on the brake and the car in drive. And we don't know how we got there. We have no clue how anything involved happened. We don't know how long we sat there. Except I knew I had to fill up with gas after we ate at Crystal. We're there, might as well eat. And that's where God led us to. No clue how we got there, except we knew we were asleep. That's Advent. That's God coming at our time of need and caring for us when we were too dumb to care for ourselves. We drove when we shouldn't have. See, y'all have all got stories. You've all got things where God has done something like that. Now, whether God sent an angel to do it, the Holy Spirit did it, y'all can have that conversation with God. All those are possible. So what I'm trying to do with us this morning, I'm wanting us to experience Advent as if it's brand new. Except it could have been with us for the last 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years. But I want us to experience as it's new, because it's like delivering a baby. I've delivered 3 babies in my lifetime. Gracie was one. She was the last one, thank goodness. And then I had 2 others when I was an EMT that we went on runs, and the mama wasn't going to make it to the hospital. So the paramedic and I delivered the baby. You know, if you don't believe in miracles, you've never been to a birth. From my perspective, delivering that baby and seeing that baby as he, the first time, and she, the second time, was born, is an absolutely amazing moment when that baby takes its first breath and you hand it to mama and you get to the hospital and you're there when the umbilical cord is cut and you get to hold that baby you delivered in that ambulance on the way to the hospital. On one case, in the home before we got to the ambulance. I don't want to do it again, so if you're pregnant, don't tell me. I want you to think through this. That advent of that child when it was born, when we delivered, was amazing. The advent of Gracie Ann when she was born not breathing. And the nurse and I went to work on her. The only time I've ever told Marilyn in our 38 years of marriage to shut up. She said, "Honey, I want to see you." I said, "Honey, be quiet. I'm busy, don't have time to have a conversation with you." At that moment, she knew we had no breathing from our child. And as the nurse and I worked, and finally the doctor shows up and we got the baby breathing at this point. And we get to let her see it before she goes to the NICU. There's this amazing advent of God when the baby breathes. You know, there's an amazing advent of God when a church, as individuals and as a family, takes that next breath. And we wait and we interact and we expect the advent of God on our soul. Do we expect it? Or are we waiting for it and are we interacting to have it happen? Only you can answer. But as the scripture says, as flawed as we might be, and as much struggle as we might have, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I have a feeling the same is for all of y'all. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the joy of salvation, for the advent of the coming of Christ, whether it be as a baby, as an adult, as one who's risen from the dead, or one through the Holy Spirit that is in this room at this very moment. May that advent stir our soul and change us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
So this young couple wants to join the church. Is that okay with y'all? As formal as I am, this is the least formal thing I do of everything. And so I just don't do a lot of formal here. There's a whole three and a half pages I'm supposed to read. Okay, is that all right? If we don't do that. Yeah, they do have lunch plans. And so here's what I do. I get to the nitty gritty. Do y'all believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
We do.
Will you support this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
We will.
This is Karen and Randy. They come to us by profession of faith. So what I'm going to ask them to do, if y'all will join us in this, is that we're going to sing one more verse. Then you will do the candles, Mother. One more verse. They're going to go out in the narthex, and y'all are going to greet them well. Amen? And I know you will, but I just threw it in there. And so let us have a prayer. They will come up by profession. I've got your information they got the other day from you, so it's all going to be in Wanda's hands when she gets well, and we'll take care of that. And so she'll do it, so we'll do that. So let us pray together, and then we will do candles, and then we will head that way. In God's blessings, we have hope. In God's advent, we have grace. And in God's love, we have eternal life. Thank you for letting us be family together. Thank you for people who come and join us. But we were already joined before because of faith in you as our Lord and Savior. But now we continue as our family to move forward and to grow in your will. Bless us as we go forth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Out front and greet everybody. Go out front.